Speaker this morning is the certified lay speaker for Walnut Grove Methodist Church, Marlene Moore. And I remember charge conference last week that she insisted that she was a teacher, not a preacher. So I got to thinking about that. If you read the Gospels, a great deal of Jesus speaking was teaching. So our ears and hearts are open, Marlene.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk a little bit this morning about bread. Some of my fondest memories growing up and then coming home when we were living away from home was sitting and watching my mother make biscuits. She would mix the flour and the shortening and the buttermilk and roll them out and cut them with a fine sausage cane, just small ones. Her little biscuits were small. But she put them in the oven, and when they came out, they were like about that tall. Melt in your mouth. I don't know anybody that doesn't like bread of some kind. You go into the grocery store, and there's just aisles, different kinds of bread. You have sandwich bread, hot dog buns, hamburger buns, wheat bread, honey wheat bread, just too many to name. But when we were growing up, to have a sandwich or a hamburger bun or a hot dog bun was a treat for us because we ate biscuits and cornbread every meal. So when Mother was able to get something for sandwiches, that was a treat for us. The first instance in our scripture about bread was from Matthew 14. Let me get myself together here. The feeding of the 5,000. Matthew 14, verse 13 through 21. Now when Jesus heard this, and he's speaking of John the Baptist being beheaded, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowd heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. In another gospel account of the feeding of the 5,000, it mentions that there was a young boy that had this little bit of lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So I've heard preachers over the years estimate there's probably between 15,000, close to 15,000, counting women and children along with them. So I heard this story all of my life, and most of you have, I'm sure. But have you ever stopped to think about how many people, just the 5,000 that they mentioned, out in a field somewhere or on a mountainside? I got to thinking about that. They had no amplifiers, no microphones, and yet they all heard Jesus. That in itself is a miracle, don't you think? The five loaves and two fish, another example of how important bread was then and now. The scripture doesn't say if the little boy's mother was with him. Can't imagine him being in that crowd by himself, but nevertheless, she had packed him more bread than fish. So that kind of gives you an idea. Even prisoners back in the old times were sometimes punished by only having bread and water for their sustenance. So bread has always been an important part of our lives. And I think about the leftovers. There were 12 baskets left over after the 12 disciples had distributed the fish and the bread. Everybody ate, and they still had 12 baskets left over. Jesus provides for us. He provides our food, whatever needs we have. One thing that I noticed in each of the scriptures that I'm going to be reading is when he broke the bread, he blessed it before he broke it. And I thought that was very interesting too. Why bless bread? But in thinking about it, I feel like more than the bread itself, he was blessing the people who were going to receive it. Our next example of bread, it was the first communion. Luke 22:19-20. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." When we have communion, usually Alan makes a big loaf and Pastor Chris breaks it. And then he takes breaks pieces of it off to give to us to take as Christ's body. Just as Jesus shared with his disciples. This final instance and scripture is my main point, actually. The road to Emmaus. How many of you have been to the retreat, the walk to Emmaus? I have. If you haven't, you really need to. It's a life-changing experience. It truly is. And the scripture is based on Luke 24, verse 13 through 35. That very day, two of them were going into a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Remember that, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. Now this is actually on Resurrection Day, but they don't know the meaning yet. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know what the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish one, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, and he acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem." And they've already come 7 miles, and they turn around and go back to Jerusalem. "And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has indeed risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." One of the things that I noticed in each of the scriptures, he blessed the bread before he broke it. I thought that was very interesting. They had come 7 miles from Jerusalem. That's a long way to walk, even now. But when they recognized him, they turned around and went back to be with his disciples. Their eyes were opened. I always thought it was interesting that Jesus didn't allow them to recognize him or know who he was or anything about him until he chose the time to reveal himself. So I wonder, have our eyes been opened to the real Jesus? Or are we thinking only of stories we've heard? Maybe some preaching that hasn't been quite biblical? Think about it. Their hearts were ablaze. Can you remember when you were first saved? And you had a fire. You had a fire for Jesus. You wanted to serve him as best you could. You wanted to tell everybody. I love the way John Grizzle goes up to perfect strangers sometimes, and he says, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." Most of us wouldn't have guts enough to do that. But John's fire has kept burning, and I'm sure that a lot of it's because he realizes how good and faithful God has been to forgive him. So let's think about if our hearts are still ablaze like they were when we were first saved, or do we need a rekindling? Man got up and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. I think, maybe because they wanted to be with Jesus' friends, the believers, the ones who had been there and seen that, just as we are encouraged by gathering together with other believers. We need that. We need the closeness, the encouragement, the love of other believers. And when we're home sitting on the couch watching on TV, on Facebook, it's not the same. We might get the same message, but we don't get the same feelings. The last verse on that scripture is, he was made known to them by the breaking of bread. As I said earlier, oh, when he blessed the bread, I think instead of the actual bread he was blessing, he was blessing the recipients of the bread. We all want God's blessings. Sometimes we miss God's blessings sometimes by not doing what he asked us to do. His blessings will become evident in your life if you're following his word and what he asked you to do. It may not be the way that you want something to happen or imagine it to be, but it'll be better. As Sarah and Justin come to sing, examine your hearts. Are they still ablaze as they were when you were first saved? If not, won't you come to the altar and let Jesus stir your fire up again?